Now, if you can see our board here, I'm not going to apologize. I didn't do slides today because I wanted you to see it visually. But what I will do is all the scriptures that we use, I'll send it in, and maybe we can put it on the church website so you can look them up after. But we're going to divide 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to the end, into two categories. Those scriptures that would tell us God is love, and those scriptures which actually say, love one another. Now, we're having a debate with Ruth because she's going to put my hearts up because she was saying some should be in one place and not the other. But we're going to just trust that between us we'll get this right. Jesus was asked a question. What are the greatest commandments? And he answered two things. And again, if I was to ask you, I'm sure you would know. One was to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with everything you have, to love God. And the other was to love your neighbour as yourself. They were the two greatest commandments. Well, John expands on this a bit more. So, are you ready, Ruth? We're going to whiz through these scriptures so it doesn't take too long before we get to what I want to say. So the first one is 1 John 1:7 says, let us love one another, for love comes from God. This was the one we debated about. I know it says love comes from God, but love one another. 1 John 1:8 says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Yep, I agree. 1 John 1:9 says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his son and only son into the world that we might live through him. I think that was an easy one. 1 John 1:10 says, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. 1 John 1:11 says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Easy said, sometimes harder to do. 1 John 1:12 says, if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. 1 John 1:13, this is how we know that he lives in us. He has given us of his spirit. 1 John 1:14 to 16 says, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. 1 John 1:17 to 18 says, this is how love is made complete among us, so that we may have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear has to do with punishment. But the one who fears is not made perfect in love. That's a hard one. Yeah, I don't mind. 1 John 4:19 to 21 says, we love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. That's a strong word. That's from God. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Okay, so we've gone through that passage that some are very well read for us. So let's look somewhere else in the Bible at some scriptures this morning. You won't be surprised I chose this. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now you may have noticed one of those scriptures, it said perfect love cast out all fear. So you might think, well, what's that talking about? Well, that fear that people will have when they die, where are they going? Whether they're a Christian or not, everyone has that fear when they die. They don't want to die. I don't know many people who do want to die. Most people would choose to live if they could. But we as Christians can lose that fear when we have the certain knowledge that Jesus Christ is our Savior. And how do we do that? We believe on him. That's what God says. If we believe on Jesus Christ, he's our Savior, then we can defeat that fear of death. Now, if anyone has that fear at the moment, anyone suffering with fear of dying, just come to the Lord and say, Lord, fill me with your love. Fill me with that perfect love to know that for me there's no judgment and that I'm going to live with you forever if I die. And that fear does go, I can promise. So John 13, 34 to 35 says, a new command, I want to listen to that word, I give to you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, the first thing I want to point out is Jesus isn't asking this. It's a command. He's telling you, you've got to love one another. And you know, I've been in churches since I was 13. And I've seen lots of things go on in churches. And people are so easily offended at little things. Sometimes they're big things. Sometimes they're massive things. Having done a ladies' ministry, some things you would think in the world's eyes are unforgivable. How can I love? But you see, we can, because we've got to go to the cross. And as a Christian, it says we've got to lay down all those things that would stop us loving people. We've got to be willing to die to those things that cause those arguments. Because otherwise, and it, unfortunately, it's leveled at the church a lot. People from outside the church will look and they'll say, well, what's different about them? And yet that was what God wanted. Jesus said, if we truly love as he wants to love, people will look and they'll say, wow, you're different. And they'll know that you're Jesus's disciple. So there's a challenge for us this morning. Are we loving people? Are we letting those little niggles that maybe has festered over years? You're going to let them go this morning, because the Lord is commanding you to do that. Not asking. He's commanding. And then John 15, 9 to 10 says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. So Jesus again is saying, if you keep that command, if you do what Jesus said, if you love people as he's told you to, even those that are hard to love, then the Father's love dwells in you. Now, you know, I want to bring that up to you. If you're feeling a bit distant from God, if your life, you're not feeling like God loves you, always go back to that. Is there someone I'm holding a grudge against, Lord? Because you can't allow God's love to dwell in you if you hate someone or you have a grudge against someone. You've got to let it go. So I want to ask you this morning, and it's not for your benefit. A lot of people think, well, if I forgive someone, they've got off the hook. No, it's the other way around. You're on the hook if you can't forgive or love someone. So I want to encourage you this morning. If there's anyone that God's bringing, and I probably know a few of you might suddenly think of someone immediately, God's commanding you to love that person. And then the next one, John 15, 12 to 13. My command, again, it's his command, is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Whoa, Lord, what are you saying now? Not just to love people, but to be willing to lay down our life for a friend. Well, I'm sure if you're a parent, you probably would be prepared to lay down your life for a child, because there is that absolute love for a child. But here, God is saying something different. Jesus is saying, again, it's a command, it's not an ask. Greater love is this, that you would be willing to lay down your life for a friend. Now, in some countries, that might be physical, like Valentine did. He laid down his life so that he could marry people and show the love of God. He laid down his life by preaching that Jesus Christ is Lord in a country that didn't believe that, had lots of gods. So sometimes that is a requirement. Maybe you would be called to lay down your life for a friend. Recently, I think I shared last Sunday, I spoke to the church in Iran and Turkey. Well, before that, we'd had a message that some people had been arrested in Iran for attending a Bible study, 26 altogether, and 10 were sent to prison. I won't go into any details because I'm not allowed, But one of the things they were being mean to them about was they wanted to know about the leader who had escaped. And this lady was told that instead of 5 years in prison, she would be let go free just simply telling them who it was who led them. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a hard decision, isn't it? 5 years they were going to take out of that lady's life. She'd be in prison, and it's not nice prisons over in Iran. Not like here. Not saying prison is always nice, but it's not comfortable, let's put it that way. And they don't treat you right. She had a decision. Well, that lady laid down her life for Jesus Christ because she decided she wouldn't tell on her friend. Well, praise the Lord, there was really good news after that. And again, unfortunately, I can't share too much. But God moved in that situation. He blessed her because she chose to lay down her life. But you see, in this country, what's laying down our lives for a friend? Maybe it's our time. You know, maybe you've got someone who's very clingy and wants a lot of your time, and you just think, oh, I've had enough, Lord. I've had enough of that person. But maybe the Lord says, come on, they need you at the moment. They need that support at the moment. Are you willing to lay down your life for a friend? Might be financial. You know someone's in need, and yet you know you've only got a certain amount of money. But God may put it on your heart to give that money to someone else. You know, I've got a testimony for that. When we were first married, my husband and I, and we were saving up for it wasn't a new car, a used car, but a better one than we had. And we'd saved up £1,000, which doesn't seem a lot today, but it was an awful lot then. And a friend of ours came, and his car had just broken down. He was an evangelist. And Neil said to me, and I knew he was going to, he said, I think we need to give him that money. Well, I have to say, I wasn't as gracious as Neil. And I'm thinking, no, Lord, we've only just saved that up and we need a car. Da, 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 da. And you know, God brought me under conviction. And I thought, yeah, you're right, Lord. We've got to lay that down. So we gave him that money. We never told him that we'd been saving for a car. Do you know, this is my God. The following week, Neil come in really excited. He said, you'll never believe it, Susan. They've just bought Rover. And they've said that we can have a new car for, I can't remember the exact amount, but say £45 a month. It was a really good deal. So not only did God give us our car, he gave us a new car. We were saving up for a used car. He gave us a new car and one that we could easily afford. That's my God. Are we willing to lay down our life for a friend? So it might not be physical. It might be in love. It might be in generosity. It might be in other ways. You know, just doing, ringing someone up, maybe getting the church list out. I just challenge you, maybe get the church phone list out and literally go through it, ringing people up to say, how are you? Just how are you? You've laid down your life because you could have done something else with that time. And then 1 Corinthians 16:14, a very simple scripture says, do everything in love. Everything. Do everything. Let your motive be love. You know, when you're just about to do something, am I doing that in love? You know, if Kevin's on here, I'll tell you, we were having a discussion about evangelism and we were coming back and forth. And when I come off that phone call, I thought, Lord, I wasn't very loving there. I wanted my opinion known too much. And I had to send a message and say, I'm so sorry, you know, for how I acted. It was wrong. It wasn't in love. It was selfish. You know, do we do everything in love? Is our motivation love? Is our motivation to tell someone of Jesus because we know that love and we want to share that? Is our motivation for giving money to do it in open and say, ooh, look how much I'm giving here? Or is our motivation to do it in secret because you want to just know that God's love is in you and you do it at the side? I'm not saying that's always the case, because God actually says, let people see your good deeds. So sometimes it's relevant to know. But is your motivation love in everything you do? Well, what a challenge. I must say, as I'm saying this, this is convicting me. And then our last scripture, one of my favourite scriptures, Romans 5:5. And hope does not disappoint. Well, it says shame in the NIV, but I prefer disappoint. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Are you full of God's love today? Are you knowing that your God loves you? Can you climb up on his knee and know that your heavenly Father just loves you? That there's nothing between you? There's no barriers between you? You know, it's an old-fashioned thing and it's not preached enough in churches, I don't believe. But the things that separate us from God very often and that love is sin. Are things in our lives that aren't right before us. Maybe those grudges. Maybe that unwillingness to be loved. Maybe that unwillingness to say sorry. We have a choice. Sometimes the Lord will tell us we've done something wrong. We can either try and hide it and gloss it over. You tend to do that with partners and husbands, you know, gloss it over, maybe be nice to him the following day. But actually, God wants you to go and say, look, I'm really sorry. I was wrong. I was wrong with what I said. I was wrong with what I did. And you know, when we confess that sin, 1 John 1 says, the Lord forgives us and cleanses us. And that feeling of being cleansed is so wonderful. But even more then, God promises his Holy Spirit to come and fill our hearts with his love. And we will know that love of God. We've got to clear out some of this rubbish in our lives. Now, if I had you all here this morning, I've got a couple of people, so I'll test them. All these scriptures are chosen very carefully because there's millions of verses of love in the Bible. But these verses all have a common denominator. And it's their Greek word in the New Testament for love. I don't know whether you know, there's about seven, I think, Greek words for love. But these are particular one Greek word. Does anyone know what that one Greek word may? I'll give you a clue. It begins with an A. I'm not looking that way because I know they'll know. Agape, that's right. Agape. So can we have that right in the middle? I know, it was a surprise. Agape, all those scriptures, the word in Greek for each love in those situations is agape. You might think, well, why agape? Well, that's a special, special word. And agape is a self-sacrificing, passionate love. A self-sacrificing, passionate love. So if you're a brother and sister, you'd have the word filio as the love word, that brotherly, sisterly love. But this word is powerful. This love word is very powerful. This is the word that you would be willing to lay down your life for a friend. That self-sac, putting other people before you. And that's what God did when he sent Jesus to the cross for us. And he didn't come because we were good people, because we weren't. The Bible, I think in Romans, says, you know, it would be one thing to come if someone was righteous to die for them. But God showed his love for us in that we weren't righteous, and yet he still came and died for us. And showed his love so much to us that he died on the cross at Calvary for you and me, for our sins, so that we can come into that relationship with him. But he doesn't want us to keep it selfishly. He wants to share that same agape love with others. And I'll tell you now, if we lived as Jesus wanted us to live, I think we'd see more people coming to know Jesus Christ. And that's a challenge to me as much as to anyone else. This morning, let us remember the command of Jesus. Not an ask. He's not asking you. He's commanding you as Christians to love one another. And I'm going to ask you to do something very dangerous. Maybe if there's someone you've had something against this morning, are you willing to bring it and put it down at the cross and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm not going to have that feeling against someone. You very often hear people say, oh, I hate her. I can't stand that person. Oh, God must cringe because he's saying, well, I died for that person. I died for her just as much as you. She might not know me yet, but I died for her. You love her and you see what I can do. So I'm going to challenge you. We're going to finish this morning. I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask you in that prayer when we come to the part where I'm just going to ask the Lord to remind you of anyone you've got something against. And the Lord just said to me, even God. Maybe you're a bit angry at God because of something that's happened and you need to say sorry. You know, I often bring my sister in, bless her. But you know, when she lost her daughter, she was a bit angry at God in April last year. But praise God, God has just poured out his love upon her. And she's at a place now where she's sharing with others. She's showing the love of God to others. And I thank God for that. But maybe the Lord's just touching a nerve this morning to some of you. Maybe something's been done and you're a bit angry at God. I want you to say sorry to him this morning and receive his love by his Holy Spirit. Shall we pray?